indeed, may we all be found trusting in the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I'd ask you please to take them out. And this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 17. And I want to read in your hearing in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Here we read of this episode in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see here a principle, yes, a grace that ought to be present and enlarged among God's people. Luke 17 and beginning in verse 11. The scripture says, "On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourself to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?' He said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Let's now join together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you as we come before your word. And Father, as we come before your word today, we pray that you would grant to us ears to hear and eyes to see. Help us to see as we look at this account in the earthly ministry of our Savior, the abiding principle and grace that we should learn and gain and grow in our lives, that we would be a people who are thankful, a people who are growing in our gratitude. We pray, Lord, that in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, this would set us apart and be a testimony showing the power of your grace and mercy to change lives and make new creatures in Christ. We pray, Lord, that if there are those here today who do not know the Lord Jesus savingly, they have not come to Him and trusted in Him as their Savior and Lord, that you would be pleased, in accordance with your sovereign purpose and grace, to open their hearts and give them faith and repentance and belief in Jesus Christ, that they might have forgiveness and cleansing and new life in Him. Father, all of this for your honor and all for your glory, and we pray this in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And for His sake we pray, amen. This week, of course, is a national holiday, Thanksgiving. And as a nation, we celebrate the gratitude that we have to God for the many blessings He has bestowed upon us. It is, as I have said in times past, one of my favorite holidays of the year. It is perhaps one of the most biblical of holidays that we observe. And it is right for a nation to reflect upon how God has blessed the people, how He has provided for us, how He has bountifully, with overflowing grace and mercy, showered His blessings on the United States of America. We must guard ourselves in these days against the encroaching commercialism and yes, secularism that can creep into this observance, where we gather and we don't really give the kind of thought and heed to the gratitude that we should. It is not a day of gorging and gobbling and game watching, which sadly is often the case in homes throughout the land. No, rather it is to be a day of considering God's blessing, reflecting upon God's blessings, and then expressing our thanksgiving and gratitude for all that God has done. Thomas Watson, in his work, The Godly Man's Picture, says this. He says, quote, "A godly man is a thankful man. Praise and thanksgiving is the work of heaven, and he begins that work here, which he shall be always doing in heaven." The Jews have a saying, the world subsists by three things: the law, the worship of God, and thanksgiving. As if were thanksgiving were wanting, one of the pillars of the world were taken away and it were ready to fall. End of quote. Thomas Watson said that if you take thanksgiving, it is like taking one of the pillars, the three pillars of all of creation, and it would come crumbling down. Are we a thankful people? Are we a people filled with gratitude? Are we a people filled with thanksgiving as a nation, as a people, as families? I see a lot of grumbling, a lot of grousing, a lot of complaining, a lot of murmuring, a lot of a sense of not being happy. And that is a tragedy, and it is an indictment upon society. Because we have been called to be a thankful people. Looking today at our text, Jesus points out this very reality. It is in the context of Jesus' ministry, and he says there is an absolute priority of giving thanks. Know with me, if you will, in verses 11 and 12, we read about these 10 individuals, these 10 lepers. It says, on the way, verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. We know, if we've studied our Bible, something about this malady of leprosy. It was a dreaded disease in the first century. It's still a bad disease to have. It was a disease that disfigured and destroyed the body. Slowly, ecumenically, it was a devastating disease to have. It was believed that only God could cleanse a leper. And so in a very real sense, Jesus healing these 10 lepers is a testimony to Christ's deity. It was a manifestation that he was God in the flesh. And the Jews would have to recognize that if they were honest, because he cleansed their leprosy. Notice, if you will, as we read this, it says that Jesus was passing along. He was in his way to Jerusalem, verse 11, going between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered this village, and there were these 10 lepers. And notice what it says about them. They stood at a distance. Now, that's not just a point that is made as to the circumstance in this story. That was what they were required to do by law. The lepers could not get close to other people. In fact, if someone was coming in the direction, they were required by the law to shout out, "Unclean," so that the person who was clean would not get too close and become defiled by them. And so this is their situation, their sickness, their separation. And we read in verse 13 these words as they saw Jesus. It says, these 10 lepers lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." First of all, we note the person they addressed, Jesus. They knew him by name. Well, that was not uncommon because in that day, word about Jesus was like wildfire in the country. People were hearing about this man named Jesus. He's traveling from place to place. He's preaching with authority, not like the scribes. He is doing many miraculous signs. He's preaching and teaching and healing and restoring the sick. Jesus, the name which means Savior and Deliverer. And they call Him by name. Notice, secondly, in verse 13, they pay Him this honor by saying that He is not only Jesus, but He is Master. Here they acknowledge that He is the one who is the great teacher and leader that gives truth for God's people. Thirdly, we note here the mercy that they requested. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They did not cry out for merit, they cried out for mercy. Because mercy is what they desperately needed. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. It really is the opposite of justice. Justice is getting what we deserve. The law says that all sinners are condemned, and getting what we deserve is condemnation. And here we see they cry out, they say, Lord, we have been mistreated. No. Lord, Master, Jesus, we have been dealt a bad deal. No. They cry out for mercy. They recognize that they don't have any claim whatsoever on anything. Congregation, we need to see an enlargement of that spirit in our day, don't we? We live in a day of resentment and entitlement, and I'm not getting what I deserve. And yet the reality is, if we got what we deserve, we would be judged immediately by God. My friend, you don't want what you deserve. Amen? You want mercy. You want God to not give you what you deserve, because you deserve judgment. And this is what they cry out to the Lord Jesus in verse 13. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Look at verse 14. We read here of the law's requirement. Jesus saw them and He said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now, what in the world is Jesus saying there? Well, obviously, the background of this is what the demands of the law require. In Leviticus chapter 13, there were explicitly laws related to those who have leprosy, what they could and could not do. In chapter 14 of Leviticus, we won't take the time to read the passages, but we read there the process through which a person who was cleansed of leprosy was to go to the priest, and they were to be formally declared clean before they could enter back into the community. And so there was a long legal process that a person had to go through. And here Jesus is speaking to that. He says, go and show yourselves to the priests. Notice, if you will, it says, as Jesus was saying this, it says, and as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus was telling them to go and validate the cleansing, and as they went, they were cleansed. Their malady, their sickness was taken away, and they were restored to health and cleaned. Notice, if you will, verses 15 through 19, we have here the point that I want us to bring out, and that is this issue of gratitude or thanksgiving. Verse 15 says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks, giving Him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. We see that they were healed immediately, and we note the humility of this individual. It says that he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. That was an act of incredible humility, falling on his face at Jesus' feet. We see here the irony of this account. In verse 16 it says, "Now he was a Samaritan." Jesus speaks in verse 17 and he says, it says here, Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Why is there only one who has come back to give thanks? Because I restored 10 who had leprosy." Verse 18, "Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." That word there, foreigner, describes this one person in the irony of this story who actually went back and gave thanks. The word there, allogenes, is a word that speaks of race, our nation, our offspring, our kind. He was a Samaritan. Now you know very well, if you know your Bibles, how the Jews looked at Samaritans. Samaritans were people living in Palestine who had intermarried and intermixed with Assyrians. So they were a mixed race. And they were not seen as Jews. When Jesus says that this individual was a foreigner, he was saying, this is not a Jew. He is a Samaritan. And he said to him, verse 19, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The irony, of course, of this is that the other 9, assuming that they were not Samaritans, they should have known better. They should have run immediately and given thanks. But the irony of all irony, it was this foreigner who gave thanks. And Jesus points this out, this fact about who he was. Congregation, this is an account in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. But we know that this parallels very often many of his parables and stories about the irony of those who should have known better, the Jews, and they did not obey God. And then someone that is the least suspecting that you would think would obey, and they were the one who obeyed. The story of the Good Samaritan is one example of that reality. And the point of this, as we consider Thanksgiving today, is that we are to be like this Samaritan. We are not to be like the other 9 who have a great difficulty. They've been blessed with great mercy, and yet they don't have the time to give thanks to God. We are to be a people who give thanks to God. Now, as a nation, we set aside a season, a week, a day, which is a national holiday. Banks are closed, and we set aside this day for Thanksgiving. And it is right that we do this. How many people in our country will be giving thanks? Now, Thanksgiving is not just for one day, is it? Thanksgiving really is for every single day of the year. We are to be a people who express our gratitude all of the time. Not just kind of saving it up for one year. We're to be thankful every single day, every single hour, every single moment, every second of our existence. It is to be a grace and an inner disposition of gratitude to God. This kind of thanksgiving is exhibited over and over again by God's people. This morning, let's just take a quick survey of God's people expressing gratitude. Let's start in the Old Testament. And if you'll turn to 1 Chronicles, just doing a survey of some, not all, but some of the examples of God's people expressing thanks. And the first example I want us to look at is in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. Now this is David. The first example is the person of King David. He is near death. And we read in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 10, it says, "Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, 'Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all.'" Look at verse 13. "And now we thank you, O God, and praise your glorious name." He gives this incredible expression in praising, exalting, adoring, acknowledging God is God. "You are a God who is eternal and great and all-powerful, a God of majesty and glory and victory. You are a God who rules over all. Your hand is a hand of power and might. You are the one who makes great and gives strength." And he says, "We thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name." Here David was at the end of his life, and he makes this incredible expression of thanksgiving unto the Lord. Let's look at another example. Turn with me, if you will, over in Daniel. Again, just a quick survey of Bible characters expressing thanks. Not only King David, but what about Daniel? We'll turn to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, God revealed the mystery of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And in Daniel 2, verse 19, it says, "Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and all knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter.'" Verse 23, he says, "I give thanks and praise." Notice again, just as with David, thanks and praise are brought together because they always go together. You show me a person who's filled with thanks, I'll show you a person who's belting out praise when we come to worship. You show me a person who doesn't have a lot of gratitude, and they are not really that engaged very often in giving God praise. They say, "What do I have to praise God for? Look at all the bad things in my life." Cultivate gratitude, and you'll be giving God glory in His worship. Turn with me, if you will, over in Daniel. Turn to chapter 6. Daniel, again, in this context, expresses this attitude, this disposition, this grace of being a thankful person. Some of you can imagine Daniel is one of my favorite characters in all of the Bible. I love Daniel. And here we have Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. After this trap was set for him, it says in Daniel 6 and verse 10, "When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. And he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Here we see him defying the king's decree. He wasn't doing anything different than he'd always done in the past. And he wasn't going to allow the king's decree to change what he did in giving God praise, in praying before him and giving him thanks. And so he prayed and gave thanks before God. We see the example of Daniel. We see the example of King David. Turn with me, if you will, over to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Another example of a saint of God expressing gratitude. We know the story of Jonah. Jonah is an interesting character, to say the least. And we read in Jonah 1 and verse 17, it says, "The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, 'I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love." Notice verse 9. "But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. You know, when we think about this very familiar story, we often quote that last part of verse 9, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." How many times have we quoted that verse? Salvation is of the Lord. And that, of course, is a statement of God's sovereignty of salvation. The fact that salvation rests not in us, but in a God who is gracious and merciful. And in the context of this very familiar statement, "Salvation belongs to the Lord," verse 9, we have this record of Jonah the prophet voicing thanksgiving to God. He says he thanks God with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. Another example of God's people giving thanks. Turn with me, if you will, over into the New Testament. Just a few examples. Look with me, please, in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, Luke chapter 2 is the record of Jesus as he is being presented at the temple. But I want us just to look, beginning in verse 36, of another of God's saints, this time Anna the prophetess, as she gives thanks. Luke 2 and verse 36, it says, "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Here Anna the prophet, the prophetess, she recognized the significance of this circumstance that in the fullness of time, Messiah has come. And here the language here is of all of those who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And she, that very hour when Jesus was presented at the temple, she began giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God, for Christ had come. Of course, the Lord Jesus is one of our examples that we must consider. Turn with me over in John 11. And in John 11, we see the Lord Jesus Himself giving thanks. I'll just show one example. There are others we could point to. But in John 11, and of course, Jesus is our greatest example in everything. And so it is certainly appropriate. He is our great example in thanksgiving. John 11 and verse 38. Here, of course, the story of Jesus raising Lazarus. And it says, verse 38, and Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said this, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to Him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, "Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. I knew that You always hear Me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that You sent Me." And when He had said these things, He cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." Congregation, here again we see the Lord Jesus in this great sign that He is the Messiah. This is the pinnacle of His Messiah miracles. It's one thing to feed the multitude. It's one thing to go to someone who is sick and restore them to health. But what about raising the dead? And this is what we see, Jesus authenticating His credentials as Messiah, as the Son of God. But in verse 41, before He makes this glorious command, "Lazarus, come forth," we are given this insight into the prayer of the Lord Jesus. Anytime we see the Lord Jesus praying, we should really take note, because it gives us insight into that close fellowship that Christ had with His heavenly Father. And here we see that very reality. He prays to His Father, verse 41. And what is the first thing that Jesus says in this prayer, having addressed His Father? It is an expression of thanksgiving. "Father, I thank You that You have heard Me." Congregation, if Jesus expresses thanksgiving, we should express thanksgiving. Amen? He is our great example. One final example of the many that we could turn to. Look with me, if you will, in Acts. Acts chapter 28. And we have the example of the Apostle Paul. Just one example from the Apostles I'll share. We've considered David and Daniel, Jonah and Anna, the Lord Jesus, and now we consider the Apostle Paul. This is at the end of Acts, Acts 28. As you know very well, Paul and his team are making their way to Jerusalem. They have that contribution, that collection that they are delivering when they get to the church. And we read as they're on their way, verse 14, It says, there we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome, and the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and three taverns to meet us. Verse 15, it says, on seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. Here, Luke, as he records the expression, the reaction, the spirit, the disposition of the Apostle Paul, he says, Paul was encouraged and he gave thanks to God. We could multiply the examples of the Apostle Paul in his letters where he is always expressing how he gives thanks to the various churches. Oh, we give thanks to you. At the very remembrance of you, we give thanks over and over again. And here again is this example of a saint giving us an example of giving God thanks. Congregation, not only do we see thanksgiving exemplified by God's people, as we conclude this morning, I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We see that thanksgiving is not only exemplified in God's people, but it is exhorted for God's people. It is exhorted for God's people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, note with me please, beginning in verse 12. Paul writes and he says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Here, as Paul is coming to the end of this epistle, you see various very pithy statements of apostolic encouragement and teaching that he gives to the saints. And we find in verses 16, 17, and 18, three imperatives, three commands he gives to the church. Number one, verse 16, we are to rejoice always. We are to always be rejoicing. Paul does not give any exceptions. He doesn't say, except when these circumstances are present. He says, you are to have a heart that is overflowing with joy at all times. Secondly, you are to pray without ceasing. Prayer is like breathing for believers. And you are to be always in a disposition, an attitude of constant communion with your Heavenly Father. Pray without ceasing. And then number three, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. That's the third imperative. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, the Apostle Paul experienced all kinds of circumstances. We could go to 1 Corinthians and read some of those circumstances. Some of them were good. Some of them were bad. Some of them were horrible. Some of them were horrific circumstances. And yet Paul says to God's people, in all circumstances, we are to be a people who give thanks. That doesn't mean that we have a kind of masochistic spirit where we say, oh, I thank you, Lord, that I'm suffering so much. No, that's not the idea. But that regardless of our circumstance, our heart and our spirit is one of giving thanks. Because we know God is in control. And our circumstances are under His providence. And that we are to live with a recognition that He is working all things out for our good and for His glory. And so therefore, we are to be rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks in all circumstances. This, Paul says, verse 18, part B, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Most commentators would say that phrase at the end of verse 18 goes really with all three imperatives. Rejoice always, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray without ceasing, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Congregation, the Bible does not give us any exceptions. It doesn't give us any outs. It doesn't say, well, but yeah, but you don't know my situation. We are to be giving thanks. We as a nation this year on Thursday will have a day set aside, as we do every year, for Thanksgiving. And we will, some of us, recount the blessings of God in the beginnings of our nation as a people. We think about the pilgrims. They came over. They were blessed by God's providence. God sustained them in difficult circumstances. And we think about the founding of this nation. And we think about how God has blessed this nation. He has given us an overflowing abundance of blessings. Throughout the years, God has greatly blessed us. And may we as God's people thank Him for all that He has done. And let us thank God for not only our nation and the blessings that we receive in the liberty and freedom that we have, but even more uniquely as God's people, let us thank God for who God is. And for what God has done for us, He has sent His Son and provided a means through which we can be reconciled back to the Father. Just as those 10 lepers were all unclean and had to cry out unclean, we all, apart from Christ, are unclean. And yet, praise be to God, in Jesus Christ, we can be declared clean, righteous, on account of what Christ has done. My dear friend, are you thankful today? Are you giving thanks in all circumstances? It begins with knowing the God who is worthy of our gratitude. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the wonderful reality of the many blessings that You have bestowed. Lord, even in this degraded state of our nation and all the Christlessness that we find, the corrupt culture, we still see Your hand of grace. We still see that You have blessed us, and we give You thanks. Lord, we give You thanks for all of the blessings that You have given us as a people, as a nation, in our families, and in the faith we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we give You thanks. Well, I pray, God, that You would, in accordance with Your abundant mercy and grace, show Yourself to be such a God who saves even in these days, and that those who do not know Christ, that You would move upon their hearts and draw them to Your Son, that they might trust in Christ and give thanks for all that You have done. Father, we pray all of this today as Your people, grateful, giving thanks in all circumstances. And we pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together as we prepare to be dismissed. Reading from Holy Scripture, we read the benediction, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.